M52, number 3B.
That sense that we learn a science so that we can use it. That's the gospel. The textbook shows us the principle, the one principle. From the infinite one comes one principle. And with this one infinite principle comes the infinite idea. And then only with this infinite idea comes spiritual rules and laws, and only then comes under demonstration of it. So its principle demonstrating itself through its idea and through its laws. So that we take today another standpoint. We take the standpoint of principle, going out from principle, reasoning from principle, deducing from principle, and never leaving principle. Never going outside principle, principle's self-interpretation of itself. Then we are inside. But that is the universe. That is not just an individual sick man or sinning man or a dying man. That is not just a single miserable man who is crying out for help, 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 help. That is showing really what the textbook wants to show. That's why she said, well, it takes centuries for the textbook to be understood. Well, we read the textbook, we know English, we can read every sentence, we understand every word. Do we understand the textbook? No. That's the beauty of a revealed text, that every time you read it, and every decade you read it, and every century you read it, it means something else. It means something higher and higher, though it is the same text, the same symbolism. But our consciousness rises and begins to see that we can read the same revealed text from a quite a different standpoint, finding out that actually, usually, what is taking place is that we read the textbook wrongly, though we think we read it rightly. Namely, we read it with our human mind. When we read the textbook with our human mind, with our human intellect, we read it wrongly. And to come to that conclusion takes sometimes a whole life work, or even more. So it's good to have these comparisons that we begin to realize here. Well, what was Jesus' place and what is our place? Do we have to do what Jesus did in the 5th century? Or do we have to do that which the principle tells us to do in the 6th and 7th century, 1,000-year period? And if we don't see that, we lag behind. Then we are always trying to fulfill a wrong purpose. So, again, we can see, well, this confirms another parameter, because Jesus did prophesy that. If we take the Gospel of St. John, and he alone is looking into the future, that makes him so unique. He alone is that one who says, I will send you another comforter. He looks into the future, and he says, I will send you another comforter. And Mrs. Eddy said, okay, I got it. It's divine science. It's divine science, reduced to absolute Christian science as the eternal development of the development of eternal life, truth, and love. He said, yes, I will send you another comforter. What will he do? He will teach you all truth, not life. St. John was teaching at his time that he will give us life eternal at that time, 5,000-year period. But when he looked into the future, he didn't say, I will give you life eternal. That's done with the 5,000-year period. He goes to the 6,000-year period and the 7,000 and says, I will lead you into all truth, not into eternal life. And therefore we must see our effort is not how can we overcome death? But how can we gain understanding? How can we gain scientific understanding? Overcoming death has become a secondary phase, something that all we can demonstrate easily. Not resurrect the body, that would be awful. We have already too much people on this world. If we would resurrect everybody again, what would we do? We wouldn't have enough transportation, not enough houses, not enough apartments, not enough cars, not enough streets, not enough to eat. That would be awful. Let the dead bury the dead. But let's be contemporaries. Let's see what our job is. Our job is much bigger than to demonstrate eternal life. We anyway have eternal life. We anyway have it. So what we have to see is to understand that we have it. And to understand that means to know the truth. And to know the science of life and the science of spirit. So this is a great step forward. I will teach you all truth. He said, I can't tell you all truth. Jesus said, you wouldn't understand it, so I keep it back. But the time will come, and actually 2,000 years, a long time for that to happen. So let's have it, and let's see that it happens now, that the science of God has been revealed to us, and that we have to put everything into it so that we understand that science of God. All right, so now we got it. Now, what then is the difference also between St. John and the textbook? You see, I was asking myself when we did the summer school last year and the year before, and we did the classes at home and so on, and had really a very prosperous and excellent time with it. I was asking myself, yes, I hear now all these students talking, well, the Paraclete, we have now the Paraclete, yes, we must let the Christ do it. And I suddenly felt it's a lot of repetition of words and not of understanding. I suddenly got sick of it. To hear all these terrific big statements that were in St. John, repeated it with glory and with joy and so on. I said, what do you mean by it? Do you know what you mean by it, by what you say? They don't know it. That's no blame on the student. That's the difference between St. John and the textbook. St. John states the truth. He states the truth. What he says is true, but he doesn't explain the truth, the statement. And he says, I go to my Father. How often does he say that? I go away, I go to my Father. And then students repeat that and say, oh, nothing to do with that problem, I go to my Father. That's nice, to go to the Father. What does it mean? What does it mean? What can it mean in the language of the Bible? Not very much. Nobody knows what the Father is, who the Father is. It's a nice feeling. It's a cozy feeling to go to the Father. To the Father that takes care of me, that supports me, and that protects me and maintains me. It's a wonderful sense to go to the Father. But that's a feeling. That's not an understanding. That's why Mrs. Eddy had to come and explain what that Father is, to explain what God is. She had to define what God is. Yes? And so, step by step, you could go through the Gospel of John and take up all those wonderful statements and then say, yes, they are wonderful, but do they mean something to me? Is it just a statement or is it an explanation? I think these two terms are the pivotal points in it. Stating something is nice, but it may not mean anything. But understanding and explaining a statement, that does the trick. Yes? If the parrot says 2 and 2 is 4, he's right. It's a truth. You can't deny it. But it's not a scientific truth. And only to realize that the truth may not be a scientific truth alone is a step forward. Because we think if we state the truth, that it is a scientific truth. It isn't. It becomes only a scientific truth when it is understood within the whole system of that statement. If I say if 2 and 2 is 4, it's a statement. When I understand that 2 is 4 within the numeration table, within the system of arithmetic, then it's a scientific truth, because I can explain it. And so we have all these things here that you have all these healings in it, and we see that Jesus healed. Said, well, he didn't say how. What's the use of it? It's wonderful for a statement that one can say, there is a man who understands it, and therefore he can do it. But he doesn't give us the understanding. He first gives us the statement and says, it's possible, I can do it. Mrs. Eddy comes and says, yes, 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 all wonderful healings have been done in ancient time by holy uplifting faith, semicolon, but. And then comes the but. Then she said, but I must understand how it has been done. I must know the science of it. That's something that John doesn't give. That's something that the textbook gives. The textbook gives us the whole mechanism, so to say, the whole modus operandi of healing. How a healing takes place, and why a healing can take place, under which circumstances and conditions a healing can take place. That's a textbook. That's not the Bible. Therefore, we must not be surprised that we say, well, the healing process has gone lost since the first century, because the disciples of Jesus, when they went out into the world, they did many mighty works for a certain time, and then the healing mission of Christianity got lost very soon, and was lost until Mrs. Eddy picked it up again. Why did it get lost? Jesus said, you see, I can do it. He didn't explain it. I have many things to tell you, he said, but you cannot comprehend it. So it's a great difference between stating Christian Science and really spiritually understand Christian Science. And you see that people can talk wonderfully about Christian Science very correctly. They can do that very correctly if they have a little bit of brain up in the upper part of their body. They can do it. But it's a different thing to spiritually understand it. That's a very big thing. I remember how John Dolly used to say in one of his letters to me, he said, well, old boy, get going and don't give enough time for healing. He says, I see these lectures going around the world, and I can detect at once who is talking about Christian Science and who is talking Christian Science. That's a great difference. To talk about Christian Science, one learns rather quickly if one has a good pickup. Is that the right term, a pickup? Huh? But to understand Christian Science needs a lot of culture, needs a lot of life experience. This is a lifelong job, and even a life isn't long enough for really spiritually imbibe the science of it. So that's what the textbook wants to do. That's why the textbook has a much higher mission. I can't say a higher mission. The gospel did the highest mission for their time, but the textbook does the highest mission for our time. So we have to make that very clear, that we are not always on the same even level, but that we are progressing. That's why I like evolution. That's why I like to see from where we are coming, where we are now, and to where we are going. So that we don't try to culture only a consciousness that was for the past the best, that we also culture from there that the best of our time, and even be open and very open to what is coming just around the next corner, not knowing what it is. Yes. You take John, and he will tell you, well, the prince of the world is cast out. Isn't that nice? The prince of the world is cast out. Isn't it nice when he says, and the prince of the world cometh and findeth nothing in me? Isn't that nice? Wouldn't we like to have it? Who has it? Everybody can state that because they can read, everybody can repeat it, but does he experience it? I don't. I don't, and I think all the others don't either. But that doesn't matter. The main thing is that we are aware of it and say, well, why can't I do, can't I say the same as Jesus did? He gave a statement that was true, but that statement must be understood. And I can only understand that statement if I understand the nothingness of nothing. I can only understand it if I know how to handle evil scientifically. And you know how Mrs. Eddy complained in her books that she has never found a student who was able to handle evil scientifically. Isn't that the statement of Mrs. Eddy? A terrific one. So what the textbook does is actually then introduce us to understanding the somethingness of something, which brings with it an understanding of the nothingness of nothing, which brings with it that there is not such a thing as somethingness and nothingness, but that there is just the one, the equipotence of God. There's just the oneness of being. That you may look at the coin from the top or from the bottom, but it's the same coin. And to understand that, why evil is nothing? How can we understand that without knowing God? The world does not know God, therefore it cannot handle evil scientifically. We are the first in history, first age or era in history that is able or would be able or should be able to handle evil scientifically. I have another 10 minutes or so, which gives me an opportunity to show something that we have been considering various parameters in the line of development that show that we are at a very critical point in the history of mankind, also in the history of the spiritual idea, at a very critical point, and that we have to be aware of what's going on now, and to see that we have to give birth to this new idea. Now, has history any meaning for us? I've been talking now for 3 hours about historical developments. Now, history is very important because, as we have seen, which happens universally is also the order as it happens individually. There is not an order of development for the universe and quite another order for the development of the individual understanding. The difference is only the time lag. At certain points we were talking about billions of years, then about thousands of years, then perhaps about 3,000 of years, and perhaps in a smaller measure. But the point is that we must see that our development is a reflection of a universal way of spiritualization. Look at the history of John Dorley. He was like Abraham. He went out into the open field of Christian Science not knowing where it would lead him. He only knew what everybody had, that he had a textbook and that he could read the textbook. But he didn't know where it would lead him. And the very first thing that he experienced as a paradigm shift was that Christian Science was not an accumulation of isolated truths, but that there was order. The very first thing that was new to the whole Christian Science field was the introduction of the idea that there is order in being. The seven. And we have seen the Bible started with the seven. The next thing he saw was that seven developed into the four. He saw that within, say, 20 years, 25 years or so, let me see if I calculate that, yes, about 25 years. Well, it took the Bible 3,500 years, huh? But still, after the seven, we have seen Ezekiel came along and said, I see I must have the four. That's the new step. And after John Dolly has seen the four, he began to see the levels of signs, the four levels of signs. So then in Revelation, they began to see in the book of Revelation at the end that that city four square had three different aspects, namely the city four square, the city of our God, and third, the four cardinal points. And that is where Mrs. Eddy says, this is the acme of science as the Bible reveals it. As the Bible reveals it. She didn't say, this is the acme of science as the textbook reveals it. That's the difference. Because soon afterwards, in 49, in the spring 49, John Dolly saw that there is a fourth level that we have to take into consideration. Something that is above the city four square. Namely what he called the science itself. And that made click. That is a new pivotal point for the future development for us. That at that point we can see that actually we can go out from the one science itself. And that the textbook is a being, is all about that one principle interpreting itself to itself. Never going out of its own realm, into the realm of people, into the realm of humanity, into the realm of matter, into the realm of atomic forces and so on. But that there is only one science at work, and that science itself, and that has within itself all the explanation. So this gives us the sense that we know now very definitely the way. And just as we have seen last year in the Gospel of John, that the Gospel of John 2 started in the first section with the word order, with the seven. Through mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love. The moment he has done that, he dropped it and went right into the four. And began to show everything in the four. Second section, the third section, the fourth section, always in the four. In the four, in the four by four, in the four by four by four. Always the four was predominant in his consciousness. So John was showing Jesus' way of understanding as going along that definite way from the seven to the four and to the four level. So that you can take any time period, be it the 1,000-year period, or being the period of Jesus' 30 years, or being the period of John Dolly's work, or being the period of our way of understanding, there is order. The order is given. The culturing of the seven, the culturing of the four, fourfold cultures, and the culturing of the four levels. Then we have, with these 15 root notions, we have the whole system of science. And that's what the textbook gives us.